And here we go. Here we go. I don't have a pair of headphones. Oh, here we go. Here we go. On this Monday evening in the city, it is a warm, muggy, kind of a breezy evening, but it's very, very nice. And at 6 o'clock straight up, which means it is time for Real Talk Memphis. I am your humble host. My name is Chip Washington. Very happy to be here. Very happy to have you here, wherever it is you are out there in the world that we live in, whether it's Memphis or elsewhere or anywhere else. Glad to have you along for the ride for the next 60 minutes. We will try to inform and maybe even entertain you a little bit this evening. Let me see here. Since the last time we met, I'm sure that many things have happened in your world. I hope you all had a good Easter. Yesterday was Easter Sunday, and I hope that you all were able to fellowship, celebrate, and enjoy the day. Back to it on this busy and hectic Monday. We have a pretty good show for you tonight. At least we try to do so, and we think we may have accomplished that this evening. But first things first, how do you get this radio broadcast? Well, we are on 91.7 WYXR. And you would know that if you were listening to Level Lola right before us at, from 5 to 6 o'clock this evening. And also, we are on the TuneIn app. You can catch us live there as well. We are live streaming tonight on Facebook Live. You can watch us if you feel like it. Also, a bit later in the week, once the show is posted, you can catch us on YouTube, as well as we are a podcast. So when the show is posted, you can catch us wherever it is you get your podcast. We make it pretty simple for you. I'm going to say a program note at the top. Next week, we'll be here. But next week is Pledge Week. Pledge Week, you know, where we raise funds and we ask you very gently and kindly to help us continue to do what we do here each and every day with the fine talent we have here at WYXR. But more on that a little bit later on. In terms of the guest list tonight, looks pretty good to me. Althea Green, who is the Memphis and Shelby County School Board Chairman. She will be joining me in just a few minutes. Of course, Dr. Marie Fagans started today officially as the new Superintendent of Education for the Memphis and Shelby County Schools on this April 1st. And we'll talk a little bit about that and other things that are happening in terms of our schools and things moving forward. A bit later on in the broadcast, we will have our good friend Brian Harris. Brian is the new Director of the Memphis Office of Youth. And, of course, as school is out literally in about 8 weeks, give or take, you know, attention's turned to summer. And what is going to happen during the summertime? There's a work program, of course. There's an ambassador program. So we'll talk to Brian about it. I know he's been working hard. He is, you know, one of the new members of the Mayor Paul Young administration. And we'll talk to him about what is happening and what he's planning for our young people as we prepare to get into another summer. And a bit later on in the broadcast, we'll be speaking with August White. And August is the executive director of the recently newly opened Mental Health Cooperative here in the Memphis area. Of course, there is one in Nashville and a couple of other places, but obviously mental health is a big need, a big concern. Not a big need, but it's a big concern here in terms of there are a lot of folks who are dealing with that. And this mental health cooperative is here to be able to help those folks out. And August will tell us how they plan on doing that just a little bit later on. But first, on this April 1st, brand new month, as this year continues to buzz on through, you know, if you were born on this day, April 1st, of course, this is your birthday. If you had a birthday over the weekend or you have one coming up this week, this part of the broadcast is for you. It is called the shout out, and nobody does it like we do it on Real Talk Memphis. So without further ado, hit it, Brent.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, we have a few this week. Happy birthday. Happy birthday going out to the following folks. Randy Page, celebrating his birthday today, as is Craig Cunningham. Monique Talbert, celebrating today. Happy birthday to Sheila Wallace, to Katrina Jones, to Lynn Jubert McKinney, celebrating her birthday today, and to Roy Boyles, he's celebrating his birthday today. Lola has not gotten up to walk in this direction, which means no birthday is, you know, in her vast world of associates and friends and family and the whole nine yards. But to the rest of you out there, I hope the day has been filled with love and laughter. And the Lord says so. We'll be back here next year to celebrate your next trip around the sun. Thank you, Bryn. All righty. So a few news and notes of this evening. Let's start out with our Memphis Police Department. And, of course, the latest issue concerning them has to do with the promotion. There was a promotion selection that happened here recently where individuals who had been with the force for a certain period of time were being promoted to a second lieutenant position. Well, now, that apparently did not agree with the Memphis Police Association, which is it governs the police department as a union. They say that the rank violates an agreement and its promotion process. So they took it to an arbiter, and the arbiter said that the union was right. Then the city now has protested this as well, saying they want to throw this out. So what this has done now is cause more chaos in terms of a law enforcement agency that is really going through some stuff right now. Found out that as of this period, there are 1,850 plus officers on the Memphis Police Department. Generally speaking, they're looking at trying to get at least 2,300 to 2,400 officers to be able to do the job they need to do here. So that's a quite a bit of a deficit. We're talking about 600 people that they need. The Memphis Police Department is not having the best of success or luck trying to find qualified officers who want to come here and protect and serve. And there are a lot of reasons for that, I would imagine. But that's a pretty big, deep hole. And, of course, this whole promotion process, which the union says wasn't sanctioned by them, is causing problems. Now, if this turns out that the union wins this particular battle, all the individuals who were recently promoted to second lieutenant will, in effect, be demoted back to their current position. So that's not a good thing all the way around. By the way, I forgot to mention after the birthdays, one notable death to report. Lou Gossett Jr., the great actor. Of course, he played Fiddler in Roots. He died a few days ago at the age of 87, a fine actor. And, you know, that, of course, if anybody out here knows about Roots or remembers it or saw it in its many renditions, you know, he did a great job in that movie. Also, many of you may have not have remembered this day, April 1st, in terms of a very, very popular music icon who was killed on this day in 1984. I'm speaking of Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye was shot and killed after a dispute between his mother and father. He tried to break up that dispute. His father shot him twice and killed him. This was one day before Marvin's 45th birthday. And this was way back in 1984. And I heard some Marvin Gaye coming in tonight, so that kind of took me back and reminisced. I did not realize he was that young when he left us. But anyway, something to remember there as well. So if you guys are interested in the Southern Heritage Classic, it's never too early to talk about the Southern Heritage Classic. There was the announced today that Patti LaBelle is going to be the featured headline performer at the pregame concert at the Orpheum Theater. So I'm sure that many of you Patti fans, it's called the Classic Concert, I believe it is, that happens on September 12th. They announced that today. This is the week of remembrance, and this is the week of tribute, because on Thursday, the National Civil Rights Museum will remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was killed in our city on April 4th at 6:01 p.m. Central Time You know, on this day, they will have many tributes. They'll have musical tributes. They'll have speakers. Of course, it will give you an opportunity to celebrate his legacy. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, slain as he was about to leave the Lorraine Motel for dinner with the Reverend Dr. Billy Cowles and several of the folks from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. So, again, that is on Thursday, this coming Thursday, April 4th in our city. And a week from tonight, there will be a total solar eclipse next Monday, a week from today. It will be, you know, it's basically where the sun, where the sun covers the moon, right? Is that what it is? Yeah, I think that's what it is. And so it's going to make everything dark. Everything's going to be dark. Now, depending on where you are in this country, you could see, huh? Is it the sun covers? Yeah, yeah, it makes it dark. It's dark. Yeah, that's it. Moon covers it. Yeah, moon covers it. That's it? Well, yeah, well, not, that's pretty good though. 97%. Yeah, the moon covers the sun, and so we'll see that here in Memphis. It'll cross about 12:38 p.m. In the afternoon, and so it won't get total. Lola just said 97% covers, right? 97%. So that's it. So it'll be a dusk look. So put it this way, it's like it'll be about what time? On a normal day like today, it'll be like what, 7:15-ish? Like the way it looks at dusk. And yeah, and you'll have to have glasses for that as well, some special glasses for that as well. So that'll happen next Monday. So that's a quick look at news and notes on this Monday. We're going to take our first break. What do you say we get into the program? Yes, I believe, I agree with that as well. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get things started on this Monday evening in the city. I'm Chip. You know who you are. Very happy to be here again for another week with you and my crew right here on WYXR. Quick break. Don't go away.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Calling all musicians, singers, producers, managers, music students, and music fans. WYXR's Meeting in the Middle Seminar is back on March 27th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Scheidt Family Performing Arts Center at the University of Memphis.
Join us for an evening where we meet in the middle, bridging the gap between industry professionals and passionate fans. Explore the diverse spectrum of Memphis music and discover new connections.
Hear from industry experts, including Contemporary Media's Anna Traverse, Unapologetic Kids' Kid Maestro, singer Taliba Safia, and WYXR's very own Liv Cohen and Jazzy Lo McRaven.
RSVP to attend at middle.wyxr.org. Mark your calendars for April 20th. It's the first ever WYXR Spring Reverb, a backyard concert fundraiser you don't want to miss. Enjoy live music from Pat Sansone, Greg Cartwright, and Taliba Safia, drinks from Crosstown Brewing Co. and Rootstock, and bites from Restaurant Iris. All ticket sales directly support WYXR, ensuring we can continue to bring you the best in music and community programming. More info and tickets at springreverb.wyxr.org.
Located on the second floor of the Crosstown Concourse, the Memphis Listening Lab is a nonprofit collection of music and music history that is open to the public every Tuesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Boasting an eclectic collection of tens of thousands of LPs and 45s, a state-of-the-art sound room, and various vinyl and streaming listening stations, our free library has something for music lovers of all stripes. More information and a complete listing of upcoming events is available at memphislisteninglab.org.
Support for WYXR comes from Team Clean. With more than 22 years of experience, Team Clean provides services for home, work, or studio space. Biodegradable cleaning products mixed with common sense and tailored to each client's needs. Estimates and information at weareteamclean.com.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening in the city. Chip with you. Very happy to have you with us as well, wherever you are catching us this evening. Now, you know, I have been trying for a while to get our first guest on the show. She's a very busy person, and there's a lot going on out here, especially, you know, with her with her other obligations and duties. But I'm really happy to have her with us this evening. Many of you know her as a pastor, and many of you know her in her other position as the Memphis and Shelby County School Board Chairperson. Please welcome to the show Althea Green, and it is so great to see you. Thank you for coming on the show, Althea. I really appreciate it.
I'm excited to be here. You've been trying to catch up with me for a while, so I thought it was important to not April Fool you, but really show up today.
There you go. I forgot about this April Fool thing, but I appreciate it. I appreciate that. So listen, there's been a lot of heavy lifting going on about the past year and a half or so, but today is a landmark day for you, and more importantly, the educational component in our city, where the newly chosen superintendent of education, Dr. Marie Fagans, started her first day. And I know that has to be a hallelujah moment for you and a lot of the school board members. Can you tell us, you know, what was there in the final analysis that, you know, that made you all as a body decide that she was the one to lead our school district into the next millennium?
Well, I think when you go back to when they brought in the finalists, the first five, she came in like a ball of fire. She had a plan for every district, District 1 through 9. She had really done a homework on Memphis-Shelby County Schools. That was very impressive. Mm-hmm. And then when we came back for the final three, she came in with a 100-day plan. And you're like, who is this woman? Who is this prepared to come to Memphis and to lead 110,000 students and 14,000 employees? And I think when we look back and we realize she was from Alabama, she's a Southern girl, she's been a teacher, a counselor, she's been a news anchor, you know, she's moved on up through the ranks. She was willing to come to Memphis. She showed up the next week. She's been in the community for the last 20 days prior to this month, working, meeting community groups, showing up at the regional tournaments, the state tournaments. Mm-hmm. And she has been all over the place, busy as a bee. And so we were excited. Today was her first official day as superintendent of Memphis-Shelby County Schools. She started at Melrose this morning, and I think she visited another school. She's in a meeting right now with the people of District 9.
Right.
So I like that she hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of energy and there's a lot of excitement and there's a lot of enthusiasm for her in this position. This was a very interesting and I would say challenging and even difficult process for you all, would you say? But, you know, to us getting here to this place where we are right now, I did see where she has presented, she's got several agendas, several steps, 1, 2, 3 steps in terms of how she plans on moving forward in leading the district. To you. In particular, what is or what are some of the important metrics that as a body you're going to have to be dealing with? I know there's the construction of two schools that is down the road. Some schools may close, there may be some realignment and everything. But to you, you know, what are some of the important metrics that need to be met?
I think so. Right now is budget season. And that's always a very difficult time going before the county commissioners. You've got to be able to defend what's really important. We realize as we are flipping out of those ESSER fundings, Chip, that's a large piece of one-time money that will not appear. Mm. And so you have to look even at your academic scope and decide, we've been investing in this. Should we continue to invest in this, or should we focus on this? And so, as you said, just clipping off of ESSER funding, we're in the process of building a new Fraser High School,
right?
A new East School out in the Germantown, Cordova area to be able to accommodate those students. So definitely our infrastructure plan will always be a priority to the district. You know, our buildings are older than we are.
Right.
And so, you know, you really have to look at schools. And then when you start a repair or a project, if it's an old building, when you fix one thing, 10 more things break. And so at some point as a board, we have to decide, do we continue to invest in C, or do we think about building Z? And we always know when you go down that road of building a brand new school, you're going to have to close some old schools. And we know people in Memphis don't like that word, but sometimes we have to do that in order to build a brand new school. Look at brand new Alsea. Those people in the community love it. Mm-hmm. I would like to see a brand new school in every district.
Mm-hmm.
But like, and especially in District 2.
Yeah. But but like you say, there's a substantial cost in all of this. And then, of course, monies are available. Monies are something that you're going to have to make. So I would imagine down the road, there are going to be some tough decisions made in terms of maybe having to close down some schools in order to repair some other schools. That seems to be one of the biggest issues, though, in terms of the age of the school. And let us all know, I mean, a lot of folks here, this is a legacy city, and a lot of generations upon generations have gone to the various schools. But you're right. Many of them are in desperate need of repair, are they not?
Right. And when I look at Northside, you know, I drove by that school for a long time looking at that building, wondering, Lord, how long are we just going to let that dinosaur stand there? And then somebody like the Works come along and say, hey, we have a vision for that school. And now we're seeing I call it a Crosstown North project that will take place in Northside. And so to your point, looking at buildings and determining, can they be repurposed? Chip, I've been doing a lot of research around repurposing school buildings. And what I see other states doing is taking buildings that they close, repurposing those buildings for condominiums and apartments. Mm. And that's a recruitment tool to get new teachers to come into your city. You think about as a new teacher, your most expensive bill is your rent, your light bill, you know, that cable bill. And if you could repurpose a building, and that's my vision, that's my dream, to recruit some of the best teachers in the world, to bring them to Memphis Shelby County Schools, and to be able to repurpose some of the buildings that perhaps we may close.
That is a big selling point in terms of what you're saying, in terms of the qualifications of the type of educators and teachers that you want to have here in the city. Are you finding that to be a bit of a struggle? I mean, is it difficult to try to find qualified teachers, qualified special education teachers, and a lot of others in terms of providing our children with the type of education you'd like to see?
I would have said yes, but 2 weeks ago, I'm going to say no, because we hosted a meeting 2 weeks ago where we invited our teacher assistants who would like to become certified teachers to come to an interest meeting. Can I tell you, over 500 people showed up?
Oh, wow.
And when you begin to create your own pipeline, when you begin to grow your own, and we had programs there like Christian Brothers, University of Memphis, who were saying to them, if you will enroll in our programs, we will walk you all the way through and you will become a certified teacher. Can you understand what it's like to move from a teacher assistant salary to a teaching salary? And so while we had momentum in the room, we had HR, you know, recruited all of these folks. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe that many people showed up. Yeah. It was almost standing room only. So I'm encouraged and I'm impressed, because I believe that a lot of the people who go into the teaching field, they go in as a teacher assistant, and then they love teaching and they really want to become a certified teacher. So now that we are providing those opportunities, helping with that tuition, I think we will begin to see a pipeline where we begin to grow our own teachers, because you don't have a lot of people going into be creative and come up with a way to get people in. So I'm excited. I'm very hopeful. And even if it means recruiting outside of Tennessee, I'm open to that. I want people who want to love our students, who want to teach our children and make sure that they are getting the best education available. That's all I ask for as a school board member, as a grandmother, as a retired educator. that's my want.
Let me just ask you one quick question, if I can, about, and because this seemed to bother a lot of people. You know, the state did this testing assessment, and they were giving school districts grades, and that didn't sit well with a lot of folks. And I don't think it sat well with your board either. Is there a better way to do that? Do you think that was fair in terms of how they supposedly graded various districts?
I think it was very unfair for them to decide and not have conversations with educators, to not have conversations with the district in Tennessee, but to decide, as to your point, they received one score and then all of a sudden they went back to change it. And then it made some of the schools that were level A drop to level C or level one to level three. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with you. It was a little disheartening, but we know that we have great schools at Memphis Shelby County Schools. We are still a level five school district, and that's something to be grateful for, regardless of the transitions that we went through. Our graduation rate continued to soar. Our district was still a level five. I'm excited about the directions of Memphis Shelby County Schools. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes on us. We're off to a great start.
Well, listen, you know, you have a new superintendent. She seems all in. She seems very enthusiastic, excited, and ready to get in and get the work, hard work done to try to change and make better and make this school district one of the best in this country. Am I correct in that?
You're correct. And I think I also want to just take a moment to shout out our interim superintendent, Tatonia Williams, yes, who led us for the last 18, 19 months, yeah, who didn't quit on us, who didn't give up, but gave us 100%. And so I say thank you to interim superintendent Williams as we welcome Dr. Fagan. And we will continue to soar. We will continue to fly high. I'm excited, and I want the city, the state, to keep your eyes on Memphis Shelby County School. It's on and poppy.
Reverend Althea Green, Memphis and Shelby County School Board Chair, thanks so much for taking a few minutes of your schedule to come on and visit with us tonight and our listeners. I really appreciate it, and I hope I can get you again down the road one of these times.
Hey, let's come back around after graduation season. Let's talk about these wonderful students that are graduating, the college choices that they are making, the career choices. I think it will be great conversation for our city to recognize our seniors that are graduating, and let's come back and love and celebrate them, Chip.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk down the road. Appreciate you.
All right. Wishing you much love and happiness always.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Well, that was a great conversation. And again, you know, we have a new superintendent. She started today. Great things ahead for all of us here in the academic area for our children. And as she said, you know, class of 2024, graduation right around the corner. So we always celebrate that. Let's take another break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation and we'll talk about the youth. We'll continue that conversation about our youth with our next guest on this Monday edition of Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. Quick break, right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
I'm Patrick Tamburino, host of the TechnoStrategist podcast. Join me as we navigate the ever-evolving world of IT managed services and beyond. We'll explore everything from selecting the ideal tech partner to the forefront of cutting-edge technologies, all infused with my own unique perspective and hopefully a touch of humor. Don't forget to tune in to the TechnoStrategist on the WYXR Podcast Network. For more information, head over to WYXR.org.
Programming on WYXR is brought to you by a grant from Arts Memphis, who has been working behind the scenes for 60 years to support and amplify arts events, programs, and experiences that together make a more vibrant and accessible Memphis arts scene. connect with Memphis on WIXR. We offer sponsorship opportunities that expose your brand to our loyal listeners who value local arts, culture, and music. Support public radio and be part of our community. Explore more at WIXR.org/sponsorship.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to the big broadcast on this Monday evening. Chip with you, and we just got through with a conversation with the Memphis and Shelby County School Board Chair Althea Green, and we're going to continue our theme of our youth, our precious young folks. And very happy to have on the show tonight, he's not a stranger, he's been here before, but not in this role. He's been the newly selected, he's the director of the Memphis Office of Youth, is named by Mayor Paul Young, and he is Brian Harris. And B, it's great to see you, my friend. How are you?
Chip, I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely that. Thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. Now, you like everybody else are down in that city government, hitting the ground running. You're no stranger to working with youth, and you've been a counselor, you've been a mentor. You've been very involved in all of this, so it's a natural transition to you. But in this particular office, the Memphis Office of Youth, what are you looking at when you came in? I'm sure you had some thoughts about some things that you wanted to do and some programs that are coming up. We have the summer employment program, which is always big around here. But lay out some of the things that you've been working on since you've been in office for the last couple of months.
Yeah, Chip, that's a great question. So the biggest thing that I've been working on as a director for youth services is to make sure we're reaching our youth who need to be reached. Mm-hmm. And so we are launching a lot of new initiatives that are not GPA based, that the base of the program is to get the young people into our programs and services and give them exposure that they normally wouldn't get. So I'll give you an example of that. As you know, they've taken civics out of schools.
Right.
Back when we were in school, we learned civics.
Yes.
And so one of the programs we're going to have, and I'll go ahead and give you the name of it, brand new, it's called BOSS, B-O-S-S, and the acronym stands for Building Out Successful Students.
Okay.
Building Out Successful Students. Mm-hmm. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to have summer camps and also a 5 to 7 month year-round program that basically gives young people exposure. Chip, there are young people in our communities that have not been outside of their zip code. And so with this new program, we're gonna have a day of civic learning where we take them to City Hall to meet Mayor Young, to take them across the street to the county building to meet Mayor Lee Harris, mm-hmm. and to see a day in the life of city county government, but also expose them to leadership in various forms, such as taking them to the National Civil Rights Museum, which a lot of our young people have not been there to understand the true history of leadership and what it take to really, it took rather to have a movement and to make change and to teach them on how they're leaders and how they should lead in our respective communities, in our city.
That's very interesting that you said that, and I don't disagree with that. There are a lot of kids who don't know anything about what's outside, as you said, their zip codes. But a lot of kids don't know our history. When I say our history, not just as a people, but Memphis history, which I think is correct, extraordinarily important. And it sounds like you really kind of want to focus on that. Give them that exposure. Give them that education. Let them know that for some, the road that they may be taking may not be the right road, but there is another road for them to be able to take. Am I correct in that?
You are exactly correct. And that's the whole thing, is that children and young people often emulate what they see. Mm. And if we don't show positivity and take them outside of the zip code and show them the city that belongs to them, that we're hoping that they will stay in, But Chip, as you know, a lot of our young people, once they graduate high school, there's a mass exodus to other cities. As Mayor Young puts it, Atlanta is great, Dallas is great, Houston is great, but Memphis needs you. So if they elect to go off to school, whether it's a trade school, college, or the workforce, we don't want our young people to go off and forget about Memphis, because again, they were born here. In order to make our city flourish, we need them to stay. But more importantly, we have to expose them to what's possible and what's happening in Memphis and why Memphis needs them.
You know, you mentioned the mayor, and he mentions quite a bit that we don't, like you just said, we don't want our young people to grow up and leave here and never come back here. I mean, we want to keep, you know, we want to be homegrown. Memphis is Memphis, and it's a very unique city. And while we're dealing with some issues these days in terms of crime and other aspects of things, and our young people are, some of our young people are involved in that, we can't give up on them. I've known you for a while, and that really is not an option. And a lot of these kids, and I've heard this 100 times from people that I've talked to, these young people need attention, they need focus, they need love, they need somebody to listen to them, and they need people to meet them where they are. How important is that?
Chip, I tell you, those words you just spoke, they are critical. And there's a vast difference between critical and important. And what you just said is critical, is that we have to meet young people where they are. We just had a youth forum in conjunction with city and county government. It was called the Youth Voice Summit. Mm-hmm. It was this past Saturday at Bridges. Over 200 young people were at this event. The number one thing they said is that there is not youth and adult equity, and we do not have enough initiatives where we're listening to them. Mm. We're talking to them. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I've done in our 92 days in office is to make sure I'm doing focus groups with our young people. This has been full of middle schoolers and high schoolers, where I'm meeting them either in a school or at the community center to hear exactly what they want to see differently. And the feedback has been great. And we've been able to take that feedback and build out some of these new programs I'm speaking of based on their feedback. So it's just not, that's not telling them what we're going to do. We're asking them what they want to see and putting the ball in motion.
So you're making them a vital part of what you just said. I mean, you're making them a vital part of some of the decisions that you make in reference to their future. Brian, the employee program is always a very big deal. It starts early, and I mean, quite a, you know, I mean, there's always, you know, those opportunities are snatched up just like that. As you survey that particular program, is there any plan in your mind or something maybe down the road to maybe expand that a bit in terms of the number of job opportunities available for our young folks?
Chip, it's like you're reading my mind. Absolutely. That is a number one priority. So in leadership, you should always have a burning platform.
Right.
And that is on my burning platform, is to expand employ. The reason is, I'll give you an example. So I was talking to some of the leaders down in Atlanta who deal with their summer program. In Atlanta, they're serving upwards to 5,000 young people.
Oh, wow.
In Atlanta, 5,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
And so as long as employees been around in Memphis, we should be at that number plus some. The problem is that we need some of our private sector to assume responsibility and make sure they create internship dollars where the city isn't just paying the full bill. Mm. Because in Atlanta, how they grew the program, so Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies set aside intern dollars for the city of Atlanta.
Right.
And they pay for the internship, because the way that employees always been in Memphis, the city of Memphis has always paid the stipends. And so again, if we have some business partners and business community say, hey, no, we're going to invest, that allows us to grow and serve more young people. Now, your mom and pop business, of course, we'll pay the bill for that.
Sure.
It'll be great to see some of our larger corporations step up and pay those interns so we can grow the base just like Atlanta has done.
You know, that and that too will sort of quiet down the conversation that we hear every year from young people. There's not enough to do here in this city. We don't have anything to do during the summertime. There's nothing going, you know, that kind of thing, which leads to idle minds, which leads to, you know, getting into situations that may not necessarily be the best situation. So it sounds as if you have a sort of a direct focus on inclusion and involvement based on what you just said. And also, and I love the idea of expanding employ to thousands of young people, because that will fill a pretty big gap and it will teach them lessons, life lessons of responsibility down the road. Am I correct in that?
No, absolutely. You're absolutely correct, Chip, because again, if we can expose our children to what's possible and let them intern at an organization and see, hey, there is a roadmap for you to be employed by this company, mm-hmm. we will see a downturn and some of the outcomes we're seeing that aren't favorable, because we're investing in them. And until we do that holistically, we will stay on the waters we're on.
Well, they got the right one. That's all I can say. Brian Harris, thank you, man. He's the director of the Memphis Office of Youth Services here in the city. Got a lot of big plans, and I look forward to it. And you know, you're always invited. Anytime there's something you want to announce, anytime there's an initiative that you have or something you want us to put out to the community, you know where to find me, and I surely know where to find you.
Absolutely. I've always enjoyed you, Chip. I love what you do for our community. And thank you to our listeners, because again, if we want to see Memphis have a different trajectory, we don't need armchair quarterbacks. We need people to get on the field and help our young people, because they'll listen to you. They just want to know you're authentic and you care about them, and we'll see a change.
Absolutely. Brian Harris, thanks, Brian, for coming on the show, my friend, and I look forward to talking to you down the road.
Chip, I appreciate you. Have a great evening, and thanks again.
Thanks, my friend. Brian Harris, ladies and gentlemen, talking the good stuff, man. I mean, you know, look, we have to invest in our young folks. This is our future. These are our future leaders, and we need to not throw them away. We need to embrace them. We need to love them. We need to support them, encourage them, and get them on their way. One final break, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation on this Monday edition of Real Talk Memphis right here on WYXR and wherever else you pick us up this evening. I got a little tongue-tied there, but let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest? Or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page, and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Church House Memphis Plan continues its decades-long commitment to serving local musicians with comprehensive health care, and also tailors its focus to small business owners and the self-employed. Health care through the Memphis Plan provides care in Memphis for Memphians. Related services include preventative health, optometry, dental care, and more. More information regarding availability at memphisplan.org or at 901-272-PLAN.
Support for WYXR comes from Cordelia's Market. The second annual Blooms, Birds, and Brews is happening Saturday, April 27th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. A celebration of the changing of the seasons with local food, beer vendors, environmental education, plant sales, and more. Located at 737 Harbor Bend and open to the public. More information at cordeliasmarket.com.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to the big broadcast on this Monday evening. Glad to have you with us, Chip here. And mental health is something that is a big problem for many, many people across this country. A lot of folks are dealing with that. Memphis is no is not excluded from that as well. And we have an organization that has been around for a while, but they just opened up a new facility here in our city because they see the need for it. And I'm very happy to have on the show August White. And August is the executive director of the Mental Health Cooperative. And August, it's great to see you. Welcome to Real Talk Memphis. How are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Well, listen, thank you for being here. And more importantly, for what you do on a daily basis. And now for folks who don't know really much about the Mental Health Cooperative, kind of give us a rundown of what it is. And I know that it's based in Nashville, I think originally based in Nashville, right? Am I correct in that?
Yes. So now we can say that we span the entire state of Tennessee. We have offices as far as Chattanooga, and Memphis is our newest location. We provide outpatient mental health services, that's psychiatry services to help individuals suffering from mental illnesses manage those illnesses by medications. We also provide therapy services, psychotherapy. And I think the heart of our organization is our community-based care management services. That's one of the things that I think really sets us apart, because we recognize, you know, like you said, Memphis is unlike any other city.
Right.
But we recognize the need for access to care as well. So our care managers will actually go out, transport to appointments, and so forth.
Well, that's a very big deal in terms of what you just said, going out and again making that assist. I think I read a quote from you, you know, that you were saying that, you know, we live in this hurried world and we have a lot of pressures on us and everything else. And people who are dealing with mental illness issues shouldn't have to make choices in what they pay for. Talk a little bit about, I love that, and talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So what we recognize is that a person suffering from mental illness, you know, they also have those basic needs that must be addressed in order for you to be able to function day to day. One of the things that we do is we help with those basic needs, those social determinants of health, like homelessness, poverty, unemployment. Those issues, we work side by side with our consumers to help them manage life, if you will.
It's difficult. There's a lot of pressure here. We all know, too, that Memphis is also challenged by the economics of the day. Poverty is a big thing in this city. I don't think anybody would dispute that. You know, it's not something people want to talk about, but it is what it is. And when you put that kind of when you drop that into the normal pressure that people feel, especially those who are mentally ill, that can be extraordinarily overwhelming, can it not?
Absolutely. I think the quote you're referencing is, I said no one should have to decide between putting food on their tables.
Exactly.
And medications.
Exactly.
You know? And that is the real life struggle of so many of our Memphians. And Mental Health Cooperative, for over 30 years, we've remained true to serving the underserved. So this is our community. So far, Memphis has been very welcoming to us. This is the population that we want to serve and have served.
You have to, you know, and again, to think about that and to look at the landscaping you mentioned at the top, that now you can serve folks from west to east and back. And so there really is no excuse. How important is the partnership? And I'm thinking partnerships here because I'm thinking law enforcement. Law enforcement has to deal with individuals who may you know, be dealing with some mental issues in terms of some of the things that happen. I mean, have there been conversations in reference to that, partnerships with that, you know, maybe going out with some of them on some of these calls that may not be just a traditional call, but someone who is maybe having some type of a breakdown or some emotional trauma or something like that? Is there something like that happening?
Yes, those conversations are being held because we understand that we're just a piece of the puzzle. You know, those collaborations, those partnerships will be vital to us having a long-lasting impact in the community. So, yes, those conversations with city government, with the police departments, with schools and other faith-based organizations are ongoing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and I for one feel good about that, because again, it does provide another resource. You can't just, I mean, and because I know that one of the big things that has been in discussion around here for a long time is just locking folks away. I mean, you can't get the type of services when you're sitting in a 6x9 cell, not knowing what is going on with you. And like, that's the solution to the problem. And like you said, the community-based aspect of what you do, and I can't talk about that enough, and I want to emphasize it more. That is the real crux of how you get to the root of some of these problems. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, am I correct in that? Or?
You're absolutely correct in that. And we do recognize that. That's why it's so important to not only just, you know, when you say that you are assisting an individual with a mental illness, I'm not just going to give you a piece of paper or a prescription. I need to be in your home. I need to be in the school. I need to see for myself what is actually happening. And we have that team approach. So those care managers are out and they come back every day. They report to our providers what's happening with our consumers. And that way we can sit down at the table literally to decide the best course of action for that consumer.
What made you decide that this was an area or field that you wanted to be involved in? Because it clearly shows a selfless heart, being able to care for people who truly need to be cared for.
Well, I've been in this field for over 20 years, mm-hmm. and I don't say this just because this company writes my paycheck. Mm. They actually answered my why, because I want to be able to, I guess, go to bed at night knowing that I've had some impact in this community. Mm-hmm. And that can be as small as one person at a time, but it starts to, over time, you know, you can see all of the influence that you can have in this type of environment.
At the end of the day, August, you know, what do you hope this facility accomplishes? You know, now it's new here in the city, and that we need to let people know that you are here and that you are available and that you are serving the community. But at the end of the day, you know, what do you all as an organization hope to accomplish?
The main thing is that I want the people of Memphis and Shelby County to know that they have a choice, that there is an additional mental health resource available. We are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30 each day. Again, recognizing access to care. So we emphasize the ability to walk into our clinic and be served. No one is ever turned away. And again, that is so important. We recognize the amount of effort it takes for you to make it into our clinic. So we make sure that we turn no single person away.
And that was an extraordinarily important point that you just made. This is something that people should not be ashamed of. This is something that people really need to understand. Look, you know what? There's no shame in this. We're here to help you. We're not here to judge you. We are here to assist you and try to get you back on your feet. And you're right. There should be absolutely no restriction. A person should not have to make a decision between getting good mental health care and paying a light bill. I mean, there has to be something in the middle to be able to break that bond, especially in the city that we live in. And so we're really thankful for you all in terms of opening up a facility here and again, providing that service. And really, before you go, just let people know, you know what, there is no shame if we have some emotional issues that are overwhelming us, that are causing us undue stress, that there is a place and a resource for them to go.
There absolutely is. So the saying is, it's okay not to be okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Don't let what people think, what you feel has been holding you back, keep you from accessing this level of care. It's available, and we're here to serve the community.
August White, Executive Director of the local office of the Mental Health Cooperative. Thank you so much for the work that you do, and thank you for taking the time to come on the program tonight and talk about this. This is extraordinarily important. I'm really glad we had a chance to have this conversation. Thank you, and best of luck down the road, and don't be a stranger. We're always here.
Well, thank you for giving us this venue. Thank you.
All right. Have a great evening. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that puts a wrap on the big broadcast for tonight. This has been a good show. I don't know what any of you all think about it, but this has been a very good show this evening. And as Brent plays us out, you know, a lot of good information has been exchanged. We talked a lot about our young people. And then we talked about, you know, mental health, which is extraordinarily important that people need to pay attention to out here. As always, I appreciate you all for tuning in. If you're listening to us on radio or if you're watching us on live stream, however it goes. Thank you. We totally appreciate that. And if you like what we're doing, I say this all the time. Go out and tell somebody. Let them know that, you know, hey, check out Real Talk Memphis. That guy Chip, you know, he's all right. You know, we're trying to do some good things in our community with some good people. Thank all my guests for being on the show tonight. And listen, go out and be careful out there. Have a great, safe week. Until the next time we all get together. Now, next Monday, we're going to be in Pledge Week, so we're not going to have any guests. But, you know, we're all going to get together and talk about why we like being here at WYXR and why it's important for you to help us stay on air. So for all of us here at Real Talk Memphis, for Bren, for Nicole, for Lola, and for yours truly, Chip, have a great week, and we are out.